States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And joining me on the show today is our CEO, Joe Whitehouse, who has been part of the organization for how many years, Joe?
Oh, do we have to say how many years? This is actually my 27th year, and I became executive director in December 98 and CEO in 2005. So it's been a while.
Right. Well, of course, part of those responsibilities is the regular board meetings that you had, and you just got through one earlier this month, and you're going to tell us what transpired at that meeting.
Yeah, it was a very good meeting, I have to say, probably one of the best. I say that every time, but it really was one of the best. And very active board. I don't think there was anybody that wasn't involved. It was just so great to see a group of people that are so talented and so experienced and just sharing their knowledge with us and going over some of the plans for the future, a lot of plans for the future, and cleaning up some of the things that needed to be taken care of from past board meetings. So it was a really, really good 2 days for sure.
So what were the key issues that you were addressing?
There was some things that, just very briefly, the size of the board. Of course, the size of the board has to be approved by the membership. And right now, the bylaws ask call for 20 board members, and then we have a dedicated seat for the chair of the USEA Organizers Committee. And so what we wanted to do is clean up the bylaw language and approve a board size of 21. And that will actually be on the proxy for this year, so our members do need to sign those proxies and approve the size of the board as 21, and we will be good to go. So that's a little bit of a housekeeping thing that needed to be taken care of. Then, of course, there's some rule changes that were going forward, and one of the things that came up and was very, I would say, helpfully discussed was changing some of the specifications for some of the levels. And, of course, these are proposed rule changes, so everybody gets a chance to vote on these things going forward, and especially at the annual meeting in December, these will all be put forward. They'll probably have variations on the language because the language gets cleaned up and improved as we go along. But some of them were for changes to some of the speeds at beginner novice through training. Some of the show jumping heights, there was a proposal to tweak some of the heights and increase them a little bit, which will be quite a discussion going forward, I'm sure. But that was for the course designers. There was a rule change proposal. The board approved a rule going forward to wave jackets, and this is a part of the strategic plan, and it was to modernize the sport. As somebody said, you know, bring it from 1899 to 1999 at least, and that would be at the beginner novice through training level to wave the jacket as far as the dress goes. So people could wear a shirt with long sleeves in a conservative color, but not just wave the jacket because of heat, but actually at those three lower levels to be able to compete without a jacket.
Is that in dressage and jumping, Joe?
That would be in dressage and jumping. So that was a rule change proposal that the board approved to go forward. One of the other things coming out of the strategic plan was realigning the areas. Right now, there are some areas that are divided by zip code, and it's confusing to everybody, but the board approved the concept of going to state lines as the boundaries for areas, which will make some difference to, a small difference to some of the areas, but That again is obviously going to be up for discussion, and again would have to be something that would go to the membership on the proxy. So that's what the members need to understand, is how important that proxy is, because it's going, some of those things are going to affect them. So that was one other thing. Interesting and exciting thing is Mark Hart presented the collegiate program, which we were we got involved with a little bit last year, but there's a lot of colleges now developing eventing teams, which is great that there are sufficient riders in eventing at individual colleges that they can put together teams. It's been a long time coming, but we're getting there. And so the board approved the USCA's collegiate program and approved a new level of membership for riders participating in that. This would be contingent upon the specific university being an affiliate of the USCA, and then riders within that university team, they would then get a discount on the membership, to which would be bring it in line with the junior membership. And the reason for this is a lot of young people, when they go to college, they're not able to continue in the sport, and we lose them as members because they've got other things that are taking their attention and their money. But we want to make sure that if they are in college and they do want to participate in eventing, that the USCA makes a place for them and welcomes them. So that was very exciting. And Rob Burke, who's our senior director of programs, he is administering that program, has been working very hard with Mark Hart to get that off the ground. So hopefully that will be a exciting program for those young people. What else? As far as the strategic plan, which was an all-day session, basically keeping the beginner, novice and training levels user-friendly. Alison Springer was very keen on making sure that at the beginner, novice level, that it's a very welcoming, inviting level for our members, that they can enjoy it without being overfaced, their horses being overfaced. And the board very much wants that to be a part of the plan going forward. So that was one of the things. Obviously, the USCA staying responsive to member needs. We want to make sure that the USCA is always listening to our members and giving them a voice. And so that's one of our main efforts, and always has been. Also, there was a proposal put forward about introducing a new level of eventing at the 3'5" level, which was designed to help the step from the training level to the preliminary level, because it's a big step. It's one of the biggest steps in the sport, and from a safety point of view, they felt maybe we needed to have an a step that helps them to get up to those heights and those levels of questions that they're going to be asked on those courses. It did not get approved this time around, but there was some discussion about alternative ways to get that job done without having to have another level of official horse trials. So that will be an ongoing subject as to how that develops. Of course, prize money is always a question as far as how are we going to develop prize money. You know, Pro is working on this. We've worked on trying to get prize money into the sport through the Gold Cup Series and the AEC. And, of course, at the AEC, we have the $40,000 Gold Cup advanced class. And the nice thing about that is that everybody from beginner, novice to advanced gets prize money at the AEC. And it was that was the whole goal of this, that everybody across the board benefited from it. And so thanks to our sponsors, we can do that, because if it wasn't for our sponsors, it wouldn't be happening, because for sure, you know, USCA funds, member funds couldn't be used for that purpose. But it's the sponsors that support our efforts that make that possible. So, you know, I hope our members appreciate our sponsors, because without them, we couldn't do what we do. Obviously, the calendar is a big question that was discussed at length and will continue to be so, because there just aren't enough weekends in the year. And Chris, if you know anybody who has a solution to that one, we'd love to hear it. modernizing the sport to make sure that it is user-friendly in this day and age, you know, that we make it so that it's affordable and welcoming for people. And so that's always going to be part of this strategic planning effort. So, so safety, of course, design and construction of the fences, education, all of those things were part of the discussion at the board meeting. And a lot of things were approved in concept, but will be going forward to the board in December. There's some programs that we are, that very difficult, they're just to, at the moment, they're just sort of scratched out on paper, but hoping that people will come to the annual meeting in December and attend the board meeting, because there's some interesting ideas that are going to be taken forward in their more fleshed out presentation. So I think it just shows that the USCA Board of Governors are working hard for the members. And just so that everybody knows, they do this on their own nickel. Everything they do is volunteer. And what would we be without people who are prepared to put in that much time and effort at their own expense to help govern the sport and move it forward? So my hat's off to our Board of Governors, and always has been. Chris, do you have any questions on that or anything?
No,
on
I don't. I think you've pretty much covered it, you know, in the time we have, Joe, because as you say, there are so many moving parts that are constantly moving, aren't they?
They are. And you know, to have the input from our members, we really value that. So please, if the members want to get involved, send us an email. We have info@useventing.com, joe@useventing.com, Sharon, anybody here, sharon@useventing.com, we're all ready to hear what you have to say.
Wonderful. Well, this year's AECs, which are creeping up on us, and we're going to be joined in a moment by Vicky Dudash, who, of course, is the mother of Avery, the small girl. She was, I think, just 11 years old when she lost her battle with cancer.
Yes, that is a very moving story. And I am delighted that John and Vicky Dudash gave the USCA their blessing and allowed us to memorialize Avery Dudash in this way with the Adult Rider Pony Championship. It's just a very moving story, and I hope everyone enjoys hearing what Vicky has to say. Vicky, why don't you tell us a little bit about your daughter?
Well, Avery was a very avid horse girl. She was practically born on a horse. She started riding, I guess, when she was about 3 years old, and got her first pony when she was about five. She got her first competition pony when she had just turned 10 years old. Her name was Gracefully Done, and she was going to be her competition horse that she was going to start actually doing events on. And shortly after we got Gracefully Done, Avery was diagnosed with a high-grade brain tumor that was cancerous. And so she kind of just started having to go through treatment and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure exactly how to tell you the whole life of Avery in a short sentence, but that's kind of how we got started with all of this.
Well, I first heard about Avery when I stepped around the corner of a trailer and saw this beautiful little dun pony. And when I was a kid, I used to ride a 14-2 dun Connemara, so they've always been my favorites. And when I talked to the young lady that was grazing Gracie, she then told me Gracie's story and Avery's story. And I was just, I mean, it was it was really, really hard to hear because she spoke so beautifully about Avery and about what you were doing. So you taking over the pony and riding the pony at the AUCs last year was a wonderful thing for us to find out about your daughter. How did things go at the AUC last year?
Well, last year I've been competing for about, or trying to compete, I guess, for about 18 years, and for one reason or another wasn't ever kind of able to get it done. But when Avery asked me to ride her pony for her, it was just kind of the luck that we had at some show in the spring, got a first place, and decided that it was time to really start trying to see if we could make it to AECs. And we had a couple of those shows that we did well, and I thought there was no way that I could not take that pony for her. Avery was so proud, would talk your ear off about her pony given any chance. All of the doctors, nurses at the hospital knew everything about Grace. It's what she talked about all the time. So for me to be able to, after all these years, have this pony that I'd never expected to be riding, to have it qualified to go to AECs was such an honor for us, and to do it for her was made it even more of an emotional journey for us and for the people that came along with us. I had two of my very good friends that were able to come with us to AECs that were also qualified, and we all had purple stripes in our horse's tail in honor of Avery. That was her favorite color. So it was just such a great opportunity for us to be there, and something that was really came unexpectedly, and we kind of feel like was there was other elements involved in making it happen for sure.
Well, it was wonderful to have you there, and of course that's where I first was able to get in touch with you, although we never met. I was able to talk to you on the phone, but I do know that one of our young employees, Caroline Culbertson, was out on the cross-country course, I think, when you were going out, and she was standing with a group of people who started telling her the story, and I can tell you every one of them was in tears. But I think some of it was tears of joy that you were able to get out there on that pony and do it for Avery. Just a little bit about the this award. A few years ago, we introduced the Captain Mark Phillips Pony Rider Award, which is for children 16 years and under riding a 14-2 and under pony. We don't do anything about, measuring the heights or anything. No specific card that's required. If they are registered on our website as 14-2 and under, they're eligible as ponies. And after we launched that one, I heard from so many adults who said they're riding ponies, and ponies are wonderful, and why isn't there an adult rider, an adult pony rider award too? And that meeting you by phone and seeing what was happening there with Gracie at the AECs last year just made me think, we have our reason to do it, and this is, the best reason ever to keep Avery's name alive. And so we're so grateful that you are working with us to do that. And I just hope that when we're out there at the AECs and all the ponies are on course, hopefully they'll all wear purple somewhere. There'll be a ribbon in a tail or a streak or something. It would be lovely if all the adult riders who are on ponies put purple in the horses' tails or manes so we can identify them. But I just think it's going to be, I think you're going to hear a lot of cheering for those ponies when we get to the AECs.
Well, I just can't tell you how touched we are it's very surreal, but it's so, so very touching for me and my husband and for the entire community around here in Colorado that knows Avery and her story. We're just honored to be a part of it.
Well, we're honored to have you. And she actually, what was her, the little program she got started?
The Right to be Fearless, yeah. When she was diagnosed, Avery's other love next to horses was Taylor Swift. And she has, I don't know if you're familiar with her Fearless song. And that became kind of the mantra for Avery and her fight while she was in treatment. And a lot of people got tattoos, and then one day it just came up that I ride to be fearless. And it just kind of went a little viral after that and became, we have it's just everybody knows it for our barn and for Avery, and it's kind of just a way to live life, is to live and to ride and to do whatever it is that you do in your life, to be fearless when you do it.
Wow, this is one wonderful little girl. I amazing what she was able to achieve, and the legacy that she's leaving us. It's just amazing to me that we were lucky enough to be able to do this in Avery's name. And thank you so much.
Joe, what was the name of this award? Just remind everybody.
It's the USEA Adult Pony Rider Award in memory of Avery Dudash.
Wonderful. And Vicky, I have to ask you now, were you an eventer before you took up this challenge from Avery to continue her legacy with the pony?
Yes, I was. I have a young mare myself that I've been working with for a few years, and Avery and I, this was something we were planning and going to be doing together. And so when all of this kind of occurred, it unfortunately my mare kind of got to sit the bench, and Gracefully Done became number one. So it's an honor for me to do it. There's times when I get in the start box and I get a chill knowing that she's there riding with me. There's always two of us in the saddle.
Well, that obviously is a big honor for you. And what about your husband? You haven't mentioned your husband's name, because he's watching all this now, wondering where the sport's going to take you.
My husband's John. He's been nothing but supportive about it. With having two horses competing and training, it's a bit of an expense. But at this point, we can't let go of the pony. She's kind of got Avery's spirit now, and become something that we need to honor her to as Avery wanted to take her to her fullest potential. That was her biggest concern in life. And when she knew she wasn't going to be able to be the girl to do it, she wanted that to still happen. That's all she wanted. And so her daddy has been extremely supportive of the pony and of me and everything. And he comes to watch whenever he can. And it's just an honor. And it gives us both such joy to watch the people that that start to recognize Grace and come up and know the story. We like to still talk about Avery, and talking about it is something that helps us heal and move through some of the grief that, we suffer every day.
I'm sure. Well, what a wonderful way to continue that legacy. As I said, where can we expect to see you competing then over the next few months, Vicky?
Well, unfortunately, the area at 9, we're about to have one of our last local events this weekend, which unfortunately I won't be able to compete at. I have a charity event that raises money for pediatric brain cancer that I'm working with here locally, so I have to be there for that. But the next event that it looks like we'll be going to will be AECs. So we're just spending the next few weeks practicing and getting out schooling as much as we can. And then hopefully back in the spring, we'll be back out to Aiken to do some more training out there like we've done the last couple of years.
Well, I think whatever the outcome at the AECs, Joe, you'll probably be there to share an adult beverage with Vicky.
We certainly will. Is John coming too?
He hasn't put it on his schedule yet. He travels quite a bit, so we're not sure that he'll be able to make it this year. But he will definitely be there in spirit.
Well, we would love to see him. Please let him know that if he can make it, we'd love to have him be there with us. But in the meantime, you and I will party, okay?
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program this week, Vicky, and the best of luck at the AECs.
Thank you so much.
There is less than 1 month to go now to the start of the 2014 Neutrina USEA American Eventing Championships at the Texas Rose Horse Park from September 25th. You can find out more about the AECs on the website at useventing.com. This podcast is available for download on iTunes to your smartphone podcast apps. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.